This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. You don't have to be famous for your life to be history. That's the motto of the Southern Oral History Program, a collection of 6,000 interviews housed at UNC Chapel Hill that document the American South. The archive is brimming with captivating stories and surprising tales of unknown history, but even its staff acknowledge that that large database can be unwieldy to sift through. So last year, they came up with a challenge to encourage more people to comb through the interviews. It's called Sonic South, and it invites audio producers to use voices from the collection to produce short pieces around a particular theme. This year, the theme is In Sickness and in Health. And joining me are two of the challenge finalists. Grant Holub Moorman will be with us in just a bit. Carol Prince is here now. Carol, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Sarah Wood is here, the project manager for the Southern Oral History Program. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having us.
Tell us more about this challenge.
So this isn't an original idea like most things. I used to live in Chicago in the early 2000s, and the Third Coast International Audio Festival, great people, came up with a short doc audio competition. And I remember going to that. It wasn't just having the actual competition. It was that they did this to get people in a room together to listen to stories. No visuals, just voices. And I was always blown away by that. They were fantastic at it. So when I arrived at SOHP almost two falls ago, I am not a historian. Rachel, our director, is. I'm a former public radio producer, and I really like to think about this archive as something that more creative people should use. So Sonic South is a way to engage producers in the area and from afar to dig in and to really use this. And this we're trying to teach people that this isn't just there for academic researchers. This is all of ours. This archive belongs to all of us, really.
You are never a former public radio producer. You're recovering.
Recovering, yes.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. But tell us about this particular challenge and this theme, In Sickness and in Health.
Sure. So I know Rachel Seidman, our director, has been on before with a cardiologist, Dr. Ross Simpson. Our big research project right now, we've been doing it for the past year and a half, and we're probably going to keep going for a couple more years, is stories to save lives. So what we're doing is we're testing the waters to see if we can use oral histories to inform how providers take care of their patients, how patients view their healthcare providers. And so as we're building this, we were going back in the archive. We combed it for Dr. Ross Simpson and his team at the Sudden Project at UNC. We have so much in the archive already pertaining to healthcare in different forms. And so it really made sense. It was actually Rachel's idea. She came up with the theme and the title In Sickness and in Health, and it was a way for us to connect the archive to some of the producers' experiences, too.
Well, let's talk about those experiences. Carol Prince, how did you hear about this contest, and then why did you get involved?
I heard about this contest from the internet. I think social media originally. Yeah. I follow the Southern Oral History Program. I used to work there. And then I believe the contest was advertised late fall, December maybe. And at that point, I had actually received a diagnosis of a chronic illness that October. And I really enjoy audio, and I hadn't worked with audio since I worked at the SOHP. And it seemed like a good opportunity to do something creative with this news that I was trying to process.
Well, tell us more about that, because that is an important part of the doc that you produced, right?
The diagnosis?
Yeah, the diagnosis.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with MS in October, and I think since then I've been grappling with kind of access broadly, and how my understanding of access and accessibility and disability has shifted. And I think this piece reflects the relationships that I've leaned on and the connections of care that I've formed with people who are also chronically ill and disabled. And so I think of this submission as kind of a group project, honestly, co-authorship with these people that I have relationships with.
Well, I want to play a clip right now, and maybe you can set it up for us. This is one that deals with just that, this idea of internalized ableism. Tell us what we're going to hear.
I believe this clip is one of the two archival interviews that I used. The person speaking is Conwell Rahman, who is talking about coming to the U.S. to do her graduate studies and reckoning with the U.S.'s sort of like prioritization of independence over dependence.
We both deal with a lot of internalized ableism, this idea that we need to be productive all the time. It's the same ethos that Kanwal Raman speaks about adjusting to when she moved to the U.S. in her mid-20s.
Dependence is strongly encouraged in all South and Asian cultures, that it's in the U.S., in contrast, it's something that's discouraged and looked down upon.
What I've realized, though, is there is simply no moving through this alone.
A clip from a short audio documentary piece produced by Carol Prince, one of the finalists in the Sonic South Audio Competition run by the Southern Oral History Program. I'm here with Carol as well as SOHP project manager Sarah Wood. Finalists are going to be sharing their work, by the way, at a live listening session tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Tell us more about this, Carol, because you said, you know, you get the diagnosis, you start talking with friends, of course you would, but now you're engaging with people you don't know, and you're engaging with an archive. How does that change things for you?
I think I was initially hesitant to engage with the archive and maybe assign meaning to stories from the archive that was not initially intended. And I also think that being in conversation with an archive and placing myself in sort of a lineage of people thinking about disability and access broadly in that lineage and knowledge production coming from disabled femmes of color, specifically working class disabled femmes of color, and thinking through what it is to like be in conversation with people who are talking about access and independence and ableism more broadly. So that's, I think, where the hesitation came from. And then having more conversations with my friends today, the project just sort of came together.
Yeah, it's tricky business because on the one hand, you don't want to impose yourself on these interviews that were done some other time in some other context. On the other hand, you do have this sort of responsibility in a way to creatively apply yourself and imagine the meaning that might have for other people. I want to play another clip here because I think this illustrates the way in which the sort of audio producer, you know, takes to some degree, some responsibility for working with this archive and putting it in your own context in a lot of ways. Let's listen to this clip.
I keep coming back to this concept that writer and educator for disability justice, Mia Mingus, calls access intimacy. This really elusive feeling of someone else just getting your access needs.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
My new friend Jess also has MS.
How are you?
I'm okay.
We are both white queers who were raised in the South and now getting treated at the Duke MS Clinic because we both have health insurance. Without it, the cheapest medication runs about $5,000 a month.
Every time there's a new attack on like Obamacare health, it just sends me into a total spiral. The reality is if pre-existing conditions come back, like we won't be able to get health care. We're sort of just like out to sea.
Mandy Carter, whose life's work consists of organizing for the liberation of queer Southerners of color, is speaking to the reality of not having health insurance.
What would you do if you were to get really sick?
I don't know. I'd be like everyone else. I have no idea. All I know is that up here at Durham General, sometimes it's either too late, you know, you're too far gone.
Living with the uncertainty and constant possibility of getting sick without the option of seeking care.
A clip from a short audio documentary piece produced by Carol Prince, one of the finalists in the Sonic South Audio Competition, run by the Southern Oral History Program. Carol's here. The finalists are going to be sharing their work at a live listening session tomorrow at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Talk about this because you spoke admirably about the care and the mindfulness with which you approach this. But then there is this product now that you produce and take responsibility. What's the value in that? Why do we care about that?
Why do we care about like the product?
The product, yeah. What does that do and how does that move things forward, do you think?
I think any conversation about access and accessibility is an important one. I think in a, like we're swimming in this culture that encourages us to be so independent and not rely on each other. And this idea that like radically caring for each other can be an act of profound joy, which is a concept in a work called Care Work by Leah Lakshmi Pyapsina Samarasinha, who talks about access expansively in an act of love. And I think I'm leaning into this idea of like leaning on my people really hard in these moments that are really uncertain and scary, and lifting up kind of this collective care ethic and trying to highlight that in this piece.
Well, joining the conversation now is another of the Sonic South Audio Competition finalists, Grant Holub-Moorman, who joins us now. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your relationship to oral history, because you didn't come to this as a novice either.
I'm working with the Museum of Durham History right now on their Story Squad. It's a group of volunteers who go out in the community, and we just collect stories about memories of Durham. And so that's been a really important experience for me in kind of getting to know Durham. I grew up in Chapel Hill, which is very different from Durham in many ways. But I've done oral histories in South America and Mexico for my thesis project. And so this was really nice for me to actually be introduced to an archive of voices rather than try to go back through the personal relationships that I had cultivated.
Talk about the process in this particular case. What did you do to get to the final product?
I listened through the interviews that we were provided, and things that stuck out to me were, like Carol explained, the issues of access and community were really, really important in this. And the theme that we were given is in sickness and in health. And so access is kind of a given when we're talking about those issues, but the idea of community is something that I didn't find so prevalent when we talk about larger issues of healthcare. What is the role of family? Caregivers are oftentimes those that are already closest to us. And so I ended up landing on the topic of midwifery. And Peter Datcher, whose voice and story I feature in my final audio piece, he shares a story about his aunt who served as a midwife to his mother. And that role just really stuck out to me.
I want to play a clip from that piece right here.
Midwives would always, when she finished, which is she's going to give you a little longer navel than normal.
After the baby's born, why, you cut the navel cord. I always tied mine twice and then cut between the ties. And then after you did that, well, they used to scorch clothes and put on it. That scorched cloth would heal it up quick, you know.
Not the little tight end navel. You're going to have a little long stick out navel. Huh?
An outie,
yeah. When he came down there, he saw this and he said it was too long. So he then went to reach up on my mother's counter and get a pair of scissors and cut it off. And she told him, "Doctor, you can't do that. You know that hasn't been sterilized." And he said, "It ain't nothing but a nigger. Don't worry about it."
That's a clip from a short audio documentary piece produced by Grant Holub-Moorman, one of the finalists in the Sonic South Audio Competition run by the Southern Oral History Program. I'm here with Grant and another project finalist, Carol Prince, as well as SOHP project manager Sarah Wood. Finalists are going to be sharing their work at a listening session at 7 o'clock at the Chapel Hill Library. Grant, tell us more about that story. What happens next?
What happens next is the child that had its umbilical cord snipped by this white doctor, this racist white doctor, eventually dies at the age of 5 from the infection. It's a slow and painful death, and Mr. Datcher goes into that in the interview.
Tell us what it's like. You're listening to something like 30 hours of audio, and then this story, you hear this. And you don't even hear it coming in his voice. I didn't. I was surprised, and I wonder what it's like for you to be listening to all this audio, and then he says that.
It was a surprise, and when I find something that shocks me, I do have to stop, and usually I'll go back and listen. And one thing that I notice in listening to Mr. Datcher's story is he slows down. Mm-hmm. The rest of the interview, he's talking kind of at a normal pace, but he starts with these long breaks. He's very intentional with his language, and that's something, there's information in those gaps. And that's something that I think perhaps radio could learn from oral history, is that instead of just trying to make things quick and short, even the ums that an interviewee offers, they carry information. And that's something that I try to honor in my editing, is even Miss Carrie Stewart, the midwife that you heard, she says, "You know a lot." but she does it differently each time. And I tried to keep those in because I think that they're important to her voice.
That's interesting. So you made a conscious decision as a producer to leave in things that we might, in other circumstances, want to get rid of just in the interest of time.
Mm-hmm.
And also the idea that you heard that there's information. There's information in the silence. There's information in the There's information in the cadence, but you have to tune into it.
Mm-hmm. And these ideas of trust and the trust that a black mother might have with a white doctor versus her sister serving as a midwife. That came in a lot. But then also the trust between the interviewer and the interviewee is really important in this. And our role as audio editors, you touched on this. You have to think about our role in changing these voices and the creative process being an influential process in reshaping stories. But also the interviewer is doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
That hand might be a little bit more hidden, but it's there. And even though I think oftentimes the questions are removed from the final piece, the interviewer is always still there. The interviewer is making subtle cues of discomfort or comfort with the information that the interviewee is providing. And all of that can be recognized in the editing process or it can be removed. And those are choices that we have to make. And it was extremely difficult.
Well, and you took it on. And I mean, that's the point. And that's what Carol and I were talking about, too. None of that says, so therefore, don't do it. Because you're going to influence this, don't do it, stay out of it. There is a role to play, and then to approach it mindfully and carefully is then to add some value for the rest of us and get it out to the big wide world. Sarah, I want to play one more clip, share this from audio producer Wendy Spitzer, and maybe you can set this one up for us.
Sure. So Wendy Spitzer actually was the one who won this competition, spoiler alert. But this is a piece, the man you're going to hear is named Dr. Andrew Best. He is an African-American physician who was practicing in Edenton, North Carolina. And he's driving along the road and he sees a car flipped over and it's a white police officer.
And there was this patrol car, and the patrolman was down in there, and he was pinned in the car.
You could see an old black man that was addressed as boy.
When we got him out of the car, he had a fracture, compound fracture, because of some of the bone was sticking through the skin. And it so happened then that I had my little medical bag with me, and I had a little morphine with me, so cut some little twigs about like this, and we made a splint with that leg. Somebody from around called ambulance and picked him up.
Clip from a short audio documentary piece produced by Wendy Spitzer, one of the finalists in the Sonic South Audio Competition, run by the Southern Oral History Program. I'm here with project manager Sarah Wood. There's more to that story, too.
There is more to that story. So what happens is Dr. Best gets his hands dirty helping this man. And they call the ambulance, and Dr. Best goes into a gas station where a white man is working, and he puts a pack of gum up there and a Coke, and he shows his dirty hands, and he says, "Do you have a sink I can wash my hands in?" And the man basically tells him no, because he's black. So the next thing that Dr. Best says to the interviewer is, "What I wanted to say was, I just got these hands dirty saving one of your own, but I didn't. I didn't say that." He just walked out of the store. And I think that, you know, the particular stories that Wendy used were from all from the same project, which is about integration in healthcare in the rural South. And the woman's voice you hear is the wife. Her name's Doris Cochran, and her husband, Dr. Salter Cochran, who was a white physician here in North Carolina, practiced during the Civil Rights era. And they talk a lot about how black providers were treated. And so what Wendy did was layer in the voice of Doris Cochran talking about her experiences watching this. And then she also uses another doctor, Dr. James Slade, who was actually the second African-American to attend medical school at UNC.
It's a great project, and it's great that we're getting all this stuff out there and hearing these stories. Sarah Wood, project manager for the Southern Oral History Program. She joined me along with Carol Prince and Grant Holub-Moorman, who were two producers in this competition. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And you can hear a listening session tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Chapel Hill Library. Find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk about 20 years of an artist collaboration in puppetry. The paper hand puppet intervention turns 20. Stay tuned.